Let's see. I was wanting to preach a message that at first, you know, I have to be a little nicer now that I'm a pastor. I'd first passed Pastor Vaughn before I preached it, entitled it "Quit Your Whining." Amen. I like catchy titles, but I thought, you know what, that might not go too over too well in my church. Amen. In Living Hope Baptist, so we changed it to "The Charges of Complaining." Amen. But we're not going to get into that tonight. I believe the Lord's going to have us go in our Bibles together. Let's go to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. I've been preaching quite a bit in our church there, Living Hope Baptist, to our small group of people. We've been talking about faith quite a bit. And I had a preacher give me some wisdom. He said, you know, you're dealing with some folks that have not had a pastor for 12 years. A lot of these folks have not been discipled. Amen? And so I've tried to preach some real basic topics and things, and just, I'm a real, as Pastor Vaughn can tell you, a real basic preacher when it comes to my content. I'm not smart enough to show you deep stuff anyways. Amen? In fact, a friend of mine years ago tagged my preaching style as porcupine preaching. Amen? When I'm done, everybody's going to get the point. Amen? It's just real basic and down to earth, but I want to give you something. Hopefully, this evening will be an encouragement to you, a challenge to you. So look in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3, and we're going to start reading in verse number 25. Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 25. And the Bible says, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold," which means in prison, "unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So, that's not saying there wasn't women and children here, but what it is saying was, is that at least 5,000 men, and no doubt with women and children, you could probably figure a minimum of 15,000 people probably got saved right here.
Amen.
Amen. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews 11. That's where our main text is going to be tonight. This is where we're going to preach from. Hebrews chapter number 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. There's a lot of Christians and preachers have so accurately tagged this particular chapter, but Hebrews chapter number 11 in verses number 1 through 6, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear." That eliminates evolution, by the way.
Amen.
Amen. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Can I say this to you? God is a God who saves by faith. God is a God who calls by faith. God is a God who rewards, he blesses by our faith. God loves it when me and you, just like a little child, trust their mom and dad, will trust God even though we can't see the end of what he's asking us to do. He loves it when me and you will take him at his word, and when we will venture out unto the unknown, because he's led us to do it, even when we don't understand it, even when we don't like it, even when we don't understand how it's all going to be put together. He loves it when we do that. God is a God of faith. We see here in Acts chapter number 3 that we just read here a second ago that 15,000 souls were saved.
Amen.
Amen. The sermon tonight is a question. Do we serve the same God? Do we serve the same God that saved 15,000? Do we serve the same God that parted the Red Sea? Do we serve the same God that formed the earth, spoke the earth into existence and formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life? Do we serve that same God who the Bible says the earth is His footstool? Do we serve that same God who knows all things, who is everywhere at the same time, that same God who is all powerful? Do we serve that same God? Well, then why don't we see more? Why don't we see more in our families? Why don't we see more in our churches? Why don't we see more amongst our young people? Why don't we? The message is, do we serve the same God? Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, we love You. God, we thank You. Lord, we praise You, God, for Your goodness in our life. We ask You now to help us, Lord, as we look into Your Word these next little bit. Father, I'm mindful of the fact that, God, You don't need me, but I sure need You. Father, I'm thankful for what You've done, God. Lord, I'm unworthy to be a pastor. I'm unworthy, God, to shepherd people, to be the under-shepherd, God. I'm unworthy, God, of the blessings that You've given us, Father. I'm unworthy of my family, God. I'm unworthy of the souls that have been saved, Lord, in our ministry in the prisons, God. I'm unworthy, God, to breathe Your air, to preach Your Word, God, to live on Your earth, Father. I'm unworthy to do anything, Father, today. God, if we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. Now, Father, I pray, God, that You'd touch me tonight, that You would use me, not for any glory of myself, but, God, that folks might get help, folks might be challenged and encouraged, and their faith might be strengthened. Father, we ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name, and amen. There's just a couple things the disciples asked Jesus to do. Can you imagine walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine walking with the God-man, 100% man, 100% God? Can you imagine walking with the Savior that God created the earth? Can you imagine that? And they're walking with Him, and they did not ask Him, God, teach us to be good preachers. They didn't ask Him that. Amen. They asked Him two things. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And they said, Lord, increase our faith. Teach us about faith, God. That's the two things they asked God for. I want to give you just some simple things about faith tonight. And if I can title the message a different way than Do We Serve the Same God, I would title it this way, Understanding Biblical Faith. Understanding Biblical Faith. First of all, number one, I want you to notice with me the evidence of faith. The evidence of faith. Look at verse number one again. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now you might say to me, Brother Blake, Pastor Mike, how can there be evidence if it's faith? Amen. Did you know there is evidence? I'm trusting in something I can't see, but because of what I already know about God and I can see, makes me trust what I can't see. Does that make sense? I'm going to say that again. There's a lot of things that me and you can't see and we have to take by faith, but we ought to place that faith in God because of what we do know about God and what we have seen of God already. There is evidence. Amen? So I want to cover the evidence of faith. Trusting in something we cannot see yet because of what we can see. If it's faith, then what evidence do we have that it will happen? Well, the letter A under number one, first of all, we have the promises made by God. Amen. We have His Word. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. The Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. These folks are folks of great faith. And it said about these particular faith, about these people's faith, it said about Noah in verse number 7, he moved with fear because of what God said. It said about Abraham that he obeyed because of what God said. And it said in verse number 11 that Sarah judged him faithful because it was God that said it. See, we have the promises of God. We have the Word of God. Amen? Amen. It's one thing for Brother Blake to make you a promise. I think as a Christian, we ought to be people of our word. I think we ought to try our best when we promise somebody something to follow through with it. But there's times in all of our lives, no matter how hard we try, that because of circumstances beyond our control, we fail to come through and fulfill our promise. Do you realize that never happens to God? No one can physically stop God from keeping His promise because He is all-powerful. Nothing can surprise God to stop God because He knows all things. Amen. And nothing can happen to prevent God from keeping His promise because He can't be in two places at one because He's everywhere at the same time. Amen. So when God makes me and you a promise, He is knowing all the obstacles. He's knowing all the circumstances ahead of time. He's understanding all the adversity that's going to be there. He's understanding what it's going to take, how it's going to happen, and He's still making me and you a promise, knowing that if we will be obedient to Him, He will fulfill that promise. He will fulfill that promise. So I want us to remember the fact that we have the evidence of God's Word. And it's not me or you that's saying this, it is God. Titus 1:2 says it this way, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God cannot lie. It's not even possible. It's not in His character. If it's faith, then what evidence do we have? Well, we have the promises made by God. The letter B, we have the personal character of God. Why can we trust in things we can't see? Because of who God is. His character. Look with me. You're in Hebrews 11. Look at chapter 12. And verses 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Can I say this about God's character? He don't play favorites. He treats everyone the same. He always has a plan. He never does us wrong. And He never changes. That's what His character is. Amen. We can trust in God because of what He said. We can trust in what He said because of who He is. Amen. He's God. I'm glad I don't serve a dead God. I'm glad I don't serve a God that has eyes that cannot see and hands that cannot touch and ears that cannot hear. I'm glad that when I call upon the Lord and I pray to God, I don't have to go through a secretary. I don't ever hear a busy signal, Brother Chris. He don't have to get back to me because he's busy. I'm glad when I go to God, amen, I can get right to where He's at and He will hear me just like He'll hear the president or anybody else. I'm not minuscule compared to someone else. God loves me as much as He does anyone else. God don't play favors. God's line is always open. We ought to call it a whole lot more. We ought to call on Him a whole lot more. He's God. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We serve a God that does not change. We have the evidence of the promises made by God. We have the evidence of the personal character of God. And we have the evidence of the power possessed by God. Look at Hebrews 11, verse number 3. Hebrews 11 and verse number 3. The Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which were not made of the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. I never forget being at Pruningtown one time, and I'm sure you guys were with us, Pastor Vaughn. It has been years ago. And I was standing in the doorway of that room where we always had church. These three guys know exactly what I'm talking about, Pruningtown. And there was a guy that was walking through there, and as our manner was, we always would invite guys on the yard as we were walking from wherever we signed in into from control normally, or we would walk from there to where we were having church, but at Pruningtown it was all in the same building. But I'd always, when I'd see people passing, other inmates or whatever, I would invite them to the service we were getting ready to have. And there was a guy walking through the hallway there at Pruningtown, and I was standing in the doorway waiting for the men to come, and this guy comes through there, and I said, hey, sir, we're getting ready to have church. Love to have you come. He said, well, I'm not coming tonight. I said, well, I'll come. He said, well, I got to work here in the library, which is right near there, the chapel. I said, okay, but we're having revival. I said, we'll be here tomorrow night, and we'll be here Wednesday night. Love to have you come. He said, I'm not coming. I said, how come? He said, I don't believe in God. I said, okay. I said, what do you believe in then? I said, where do you think man came from? I said, where did the stars come from? Where did gravity come from? You know, we know what gravity does, but we don't know what gravity is. Amen. You can't put gravity in a jar and paint it red or blue or green or orange. We know what it does, but we don't know what it is. Where did gravity come from? Where did the laws that govern our universe, where did these laws come from? Where did the stars come from? And he looked at me and he said, I believe in evolution. And I told him something that blew his little mind, that made smoke come rolling out his ears, Brother Harold. I said, you got more faith than me. He looked at me dumb, Chris. And then while I had him stunned, I told him why. I said, it takes a whole lot more faith to believe that everything came from nothing in a big explosion. Just think about that logically. And they call us, we're crazy fanatical religionists, but everything, boil the whole theory down to this, you can logically. Everything came from nothing. What? And then it exploded. So everything that came from nothing exploded. Well, then what exploded? Nothing. Huh? I may not have a degree with a bunch of letters behind my name, but that's dumb. That's a fairy tale for grown-ups. Amen. And they call us crazy. I said, you got way more faith than this preacher's got. If you believe everything came from nothing, then it takes a whole lot more faith to believe, a whole lot less faith to believe there's some supernatural, all-powerful creator deity out there that made everything that's not tied down by the laws of science. In fact, let me go one further. There has to be some sort of a creator out there. There has to be. Did you know you can't, and preacher, these guys know I love science. Did you know that you cannot create life without oxygen present? But did you also know you can't create life with oxygen present? If you're trying to turn some kind of matter into life and you have oxygen present, it will oxidize quicker than you can turn it into life, and you won't be able to create life. So then where do we get life from? There has to be a supernatural, all-powerful God that's not tied down by the laws to have made life. Amen. I mean, I could go on and on with you about science, and I'm not going to do it because it's not part of the message here, but I'm here to tell you that God possesses all power. He can do whatever He wants to do. Amen. And we ought to trust in that God when He makes men you a promise, when He leads us to do something, because we know for a fact that not only is He all-knowing and He's all-present, but He's all-powerful, and He's not going to lead me and you to do something without helping us. It didn't make a whole lot of sense at all for me to leave the Rock of Ages. I couldn't explain it to you. But for 2 years before I resigned Rock of Ages, I just knew it wasn't like it used to be. And for a long time, I had a real hard time with that. You say, why? Because I thought it was me. And it very easily could have been me. Amen. But it wasn't. It turned out in this particular situation, it was the Lord. I thought, man, Harold, something's wrong with my heart. I need to rekindle my burden for these men. What is wrong with me? God, forgive me. But God just kept moving and giving me desires to do something different. And God just kept moving in my heart and taking more and more of that desire to enjoy the prisons like I used to away from me. And I just kept praying and I kept reading my Bible and I just couldn't get past this fact from as I was trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that I wasn't wrong for that ministry anymore. I can't explain it to you. But I'm just telling you, I know that God did a work in my heart. I never wanted to pastor. I'd go to churches in the 15 years I was a missionary, and I'd have a preacher get up and say, I'm glad Brother Blake does what he does, because I wouldn't want to do what he does. And then I'd say, well, preacher, I'm glad you do what you do, because I don't want to do what you do. Well, I could come in and preach to y'all and leave. And you say, well, I don't like him. Well, too bad, I'm leaving. You'll have your pastor back next service. Now I've got to look at the same people Sunday morning and Sunday night. And when, well, Thursday will be our midweek service. Thursday. Lord, please help me. Amen? It's a different type of ministry. I had respect. The men loved me. The ladies loved our ministry, loved me and my wife. The young people loved us. I believe these men would testify to that, that God allowed us to, over the years, build a testimony with these chaplains. And we had officials that respected us. And boy, I could call up different officials and get in institutions I wasn't in if I had openings in my schedule. And then God says, I want you to leave not only all the ministry experience you've ever had, which was mostly in the prisons, not only I want you to leave that, but I want you to leave all your family and all your friends, and I want you to go 2.5 hours away from everything you know. And I want you to do a type of ministry you've never done before. I want you to start a church, and I want you to pastor that church. Amen. What? Now, I know y'all are more spiritual than Brother Blake, and you never, when God puts something in front of you, you never say, what? You never argue with God. I know. Y'all left your halos at home. Amen. But I'm thinking, Lord, what in the world are you doing? We had over 6,000 professions of faith in 15 years in West Virginia. I had an older inmate that was literally in tears when he found out I was leaving Rock of Ages. I'd led him to the Lord. He was an older inmate. And I led him to the Lord, and I'd be able to work with him, and he probably was never going to get out. And I was basically like a pastor to him, and he was almost in tears when he found out I was leaving and I wouldn't be back to that prison anymore. But God said, go. And you know what I had to do? I had to pack up my family. My daughter is autistic. My little son is adopted. Change is not their friend. They don't like change. Amen. They both have a lot of anxiety. My son from his past and what he went through with his biological family, my daughter from her autism, they have a bunch of anxiety. We had all kinds of services in the Charleston area for my daughter and for my son. There was counseling for them. There was things to work with them to help them to adapt to what they were going through. And then we're going somewhere where we do anything. We got to drive an hour to Beckley or Princeton now. You can't even go to Walmart without going to Beckley or Princeton. There ain't even a Walmart in McDowell County. That's almost what made me think it couldn't be the will of God. Amen? God said, go! All right, God. You've never led me wrong yet. And I'm just telling you, the devil has fought. You say, why? Because just like the prisons, God has a hold on McDowell County. He's got it by the throat. And he don't like me being down there. He don't like somebody going down there that's going to preach the truth. He don't like somebody going down there that's going to soul win. He doesn't like somebody going down there that's going to support missions and going to challenge people to grow in their walk with the Lord. He don't want somebody going down there that has a burden for young people. He don't want somebody going down there like that. You say, why? Because he's got enough preachers down there that they're content, they're satisfied, they're going through the ritualistic religious exercises, they're just existing, they're dying out. He has it by the throat. He don't want somebody going down there with some zeal. He don't want that. I wanted to go to Florida. I love seafood. Fresh seafood. Somebody say amen for fresh seafood. But God said, nope, you ain't going to Florida, son. You're going to McDowell County. What? That's what he wants me to do. That's what I've done. And guess what? Yeah, the devil's fought, but God's blessed too. And it's evident that God has been in this. And this would blow you away, but I'm telling you, the emotional state and the spiritual state and the mental state. I'm not talking about the addiction. There is addiction in McDowell County. But the majority of the culture of McDowell County, their mental and emotional state is very similar to that of inmates. You have a lot of discouraged and depressed people. There's a lot of drug addiction down there. You have a lot of people that know nothing about the Bible. You have a lot of people that because of their situation and because of where they're at, they do not trust people. They're very cliquish. They're very standoffish. Can I tell you something I had to do? I'm going to anyhow. You know, he done told me I don't have a time limit. I would dismiss our service in prayer. Remember I told you we got 6 to 8 people now? And then plus my wife and kids, there's 10 of us, 10, 12 of us. I would dismiss in prayer, Pastor Vaughn, and only the one couple would come and talk to us. Everybody else would just whoosh. Not even shake my hand or anything. And I thought, man, I got to build a relationship with these people, right? I'm going to be their pastor. They've got to learn to trust me. They've got to know who I am. They've got to know what I'm about. I want them to know me. So you know what I do now? Because I don't even have anybody I can call on to pray, Brother Harold. I pray. I lead the singing. I do the preaching. I work the altar. Now my wife helps me at the altar. She can help me with that. Amen. But me and her do it all. Amen. You say, so what do you do? This is what I had to do. I said, all right, let's all bow our heads and be dismissed in prayer. And while I'm praying, I'm walking to the back door so they have to shake my hand. That's the only way out. Amen. They're standoffish. But I've been dealing with those kind of people for 15 years in the prisons. Very similar. There's been many great preachers, friends of mine, that prayed about going and starting the church that I'm starting. You say, why didn't God lead them down there? They're not as good a preacher as you? No, some of them are a lot better, I think, men than me. But God happened to have somebody that had the right personality and had the experience with those type of people, mentally and emotionally, to go down there to work with them. I'm just bullheaded enough and hard-headed enough that I don't care whether they like me or not. I'm just crazy enough to not be afraid of them if they're going to threaten me. They won't be the first person after 15 years of prison ministry to threaten this fat guy. And they won't be the last. I'm just crazy enough, even though I'm not tough, to believe that God is going to take care of me. And if I'm sensitive and I'm obedient to Him, He's not going to put more on me than what I can bear. And He will fight my battles for me. Oh, there'll be battles. And I'll have to go through some battles, but God will help me get through them. So we talked about the evidence of faith. Now, number two, let's talk about the embrace of faith. Don't worry, there's 25 points, and all of them have an A, B, and C. No, I'm just kidding. There's 2 points, and they both have an A, B, and C. So let's look at the second part of the message, and we'll move a whole lot faster on the second part here. We talked about the evidence of faith. Number two, let's talk about, for just a second, real quick, the embrace of faith. You know, just believing ain't enough. The Bible says the devil and the demons believe, and they're smarter than a lot of people, tremble. They don't just believe, they tremble at God. Look at verse number 1. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance of things hoped for. There must be an embrace of faith. Why, if you don't embrace faith in Christ as your Savior, just knowing there's a God will not get you into heaven. Amen? If you don't embrace faith in the Lord to run your life, well then when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you won't get any rewards. Amen. Just knowing something and doing something are two different things. Amen. Hell is full of people that knew they should have got saved before they died. Hell is full of people that meant to get saved before they died, they just put it off too long. Amen. Let me say this to you. It's not faith, first of all, if it makes sense to most people. It's not faith if it makes sense to most people. Look at verse number 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Now, by faith, being warned... Let's try that again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous which is by faith. In another portion of Scripture, God calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. Can you imagine being Noah? God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I want you to build a boat. I'm going to destroy the earth with a great flood. It's going to rain 40 days, 40 nights. Here's the dimension of the boat. And it's roughly, I believe, 350 feet or 400 feet, 450 feet, something like that long. I'd have to calculate it back up again. It's roughly 75 feet wide and 50 feet tall. I believe I'm telling you the right dimensions. I want you to build this massive boat. It takes him, I believe, around 100 years or more to build this boat. Can you imagine being Noah? By the way, they didn't have loaves. Or as my uncle called them, slows. Amen. They didn't have Home Depot. They didn't have True Value. They didn't have what we would call power tools. Amen. They didn't have chop saws and miter saws and circular saws and reciprocating saws. Amen. And Noah's out there building. Can you imagine his neighbors and people walking by in his neighborhood? What are you doing, Noah? I'm building a boat. What are you building a boat for? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? It hadn't rained before that time. Amen. It's water that falls from the sky. And it's going to flood the earth up above 25 feet above the highest mountain. You are crazy, Noah. He got made fun of. He got laughed at. He probably got called all kinds of names. Didn't make sense to those people. But I tell you what, when God put Noah and those animals that came in two by two, except for the clean animals, and God shut the door on the ark, and then the rain started to fall, he didn't look so stupid anymore. And then when these folks started drowning, and they started, it not only didn't look stupid, but now they're begging him to let them in, beating on the door. Amen. They ain't getting in too late. By the way, that's a good picture of the rapture. You know, it gets God shuts the door, he calls us all home, we all get lifted up toward the sky. Amen. It's not faith if it makes sense to most people. There's some Christians probably thought that I was crazy leaving the prisons. You know, when we left the prison ministry and went to planting this church, we didn't know how many churches would stick with us and keep supporting us. We right off the bat lost more than a third of our support when we left the Rock of Ages. Because there's a lot of churches, and I understand why, but there's a lot of churches that have the policy, you change ministries, we drop you. We didn't know if half of them or all of them would drop us, preacher. There was some faith that had to be ventured out there. Now, I'm happy to tell you God's taking care of us. Amen. As you can tell, I've not missed... These guys can tell you, hopefully I'm not much fatter than the last time I seen them, but I'm definitely not smaller. Definitely the same size, right? So God's not allowing me to miss a meal. Amen? Amen. So it don't make sense, preacher. Well, it doesn't have to make sense. It's not faith if it makes a lot of sense. The letter B, it's not faith if it can be accomplished easily by man. It's not faith if it can be accomplished easily by man. Look at verse 32. The Bible says, "And what shall I more say for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." I want to see God do things in Welch and in McDowell County that blow people's minds. Amen. The biggest churches in McDowell County are 50, 60 people. Let me ask you a question. If in about 4 or 5 years we have 150 people, do you think that would blow most people's minds? Amen. if we had three times what the biggest churches had? I've got a verse that's become special to me. It's Numbers 23:23. I've got it up in my office. And at the tail end of that verse, it's talking about Israel. And it says, "What hath God wrought?" I want to do things in such a way that people can't look at it and say, "Boy, look what Brother Blake did." I want to do things in such a way that people go and say, "Boy, look what Rich Creek Baptist Church, our reproducing church, look what them being involved did." I want things to be done in my marriage, in my family, in our church down there, that people can look at that and they say, "Hey, I can't explain it. I don't understand how that happened. I don't know how this happened here. This don't make any sense to us," that they can only accredit it to a miracle or to God Himself. And I'm afraid so many of us in our Christian life only do things that we can get the credit for because we don't have great faith. We only do things in such a way to where God, outsiders looking in, can't give God the credit for it. Amen. I want to do things that I can't get the credit for that are way beyond me through the power of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Last of all, and I'm done, it's not faith if it makes sense to most people. It's not faith if it can be accomplished easily by man or by people. It's not faith if there's no sacrifice. It's not faith if there's no sacrifice. Look at verse number 17. We'll read a couple verses here and be done. Hebrews 11, verse 17. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Can you imagine being Abraham and God says, "I want you to sacrifice your son to me"? Do you know what that involves? That involves slitting that animal's throat and bleeding it out, then chopping it up in little pieces and burning it. How many of us would be like Abraham and say, "Okay, God, no problem"? Now, I'm glad that God never intended to have Abraham go through with that, that God was testing Abraham. But I'm here to tell you that it is not faith if there's no sacrifice. I've learned this about the Christian life. If you're saved and you try your best to be in the center of God's will for your life and you strive for that, you will come to many times in your life where God will ask you to do things and you will say and turn to God in prayer or in your mind at least or in your heart, though you may not verbalize it in words, you'll say, "Now, Lord, I don't have the ability to do that that you're asking me to do." You'll come to times in your life, God will ask you to do things if you're trying to put Him first. You'll say, "God, I don't have the money to do that. Do you think I had $50,000? I said we could pay for it over 10 years, maybe. It'd be stretching it." Do you think $50,000 is a lot of money to God? Well, obviously not. We've already got $46,600 in just 3 weeks. That ain't a lot of money to Him. That ain't nothing to Him. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And as one country preacher said, He owns the taters in the hills too. Amen. That ain't nothing to Him. God will ask you to do things. You'll say, "Now, God, I don't have the resources to do that." Now, you might turn this back to me and say, "Well, Pastor Mike, Brother Mike, why in the world would God ask us to do things that we don't have the money for? Why would He ask us to do things that we don't have the ability to do? Why in the world would God ask us to do things that we don't have the resources to get accomplished?" Because when me and you are obedient to Him, and God shows up because we just by simple faith and obedience obey Him, and then He makes up the difference for what we don't have, then people looking on the outside looking in can't give us the credit. I've preached to people that I grew up with and people that I even went to church with in prisons. I've preached to people that I grew up with in churches as well that I went to school with. And not one person has been able to look at me or even say when I wasn't around and be truthful, I always knew Mike Blake could do what he just did. As a kid, I was the most shy person you'd ever meet. I was so shy that when I first started serving in my local church, and it wasn't even really serving, I just went. I went on organized visitation with our church for 9 months and didn't say a word. For 9 months, I went more faithful than some of the faithful soul winners and didn't say a word because I was that shy and nervous. 3 months after that, when I started sharing my faith, when I started helping, God called me to preach. I argue with God, Lord, it took me 9 months to be obedient to you to get that next door when I was out on soul winning. It took me 9 months. Lord, how long is it going to take for me to be obedient to you to get up in front of a group of people and preach? I didn't have a stuttering problem, but I'm telling you, when I get up in front of people, I get so nervous, I start bumbling all over my words. That's how nervous I would get. Well, guess what? God took care of that for me. I answered the call to preach on a Wednesday night at my home church in Taze Valley Baptist Church in April of 2003. My pastor, who's very intimidating to me, as I said before, physically and spiritually, walked up to me after church. He didn't ask me, Chris. He didn't say, hey, would you like to share next week now that you're called to preach? Would you like to share next week now that you're called to preach? No. He walked up to me and said, Mike, son, I'm glad that you are being to the Lord and answering your call to preach. We could tell God was working in your life. Next Wednesday night, he didn't ask, next Wednesday night before I preach, you're doing the devotion. I was so nervous I wouldn't even look people in the eye when I preached the first time. Now, at that time, I was worried about my images, and you can tell I'm not now. Some of y'all are stone-faced. I can't get you to smile for nothing. I don't think your face does this. Mine does. But I was so worried about my image that I scanned back and forth across the back wall the whole time I preached because I didn't want to look dorky. Well, I still look dorky, Chris, but I didn't want to look dorky like some of these, and that's probably not the right word, but look like a dork, because like these young preachers that just stared at the Bible, never looked up. Her cousin, because me and my wife weren't married at that time, her cousin walked up to me. We were all friends. He walked up to me and he said, Mike, he said, you didn't do too bad. He said, you actually looked at us. I said, no, I didn't. It worked. Amen. It worked. God said, I want you to preach. Why, God? I'm shy. I'm backward. I want you to teach my word. Why, God? I didn't do that good in school. Mike, I want you to be a leader. I want you to head up ministry in the prisons. And then I'm going to call you to pastor and to be a leader of a flock of people, a group of people. Why, God? I don't have any natural leadership abilities of my own. Some people are natural leaders. That wasn't me. Some people are naturally good speakers. That wasn't me. Some people are just naturally very intelligent. That was not me. Y'all seen cars? Tow-mater. Average intelligence. Right here. And I bet you there's times in some of y'all's lives when Pastor Vaughn gets up and says, hey, we need somebody to help us out with Vacation Bible School. Some of y'all probably sitting back there going, I ain't doing that. I don't even like kids. And something inside of you is telling you you should do it, but you're ignoring it, and it's the Lord. I'd sit back there in the back in our church at Taze Valley before I answered the call to preach, before I knew for a fact God was calling me, and my pastor would be up there preaching like a wild man, just an old-fashioned preacher, and something inside me would be saying, you should be doing that. And you know what I did at first preacher for the first, I don't know, 10 or 15 times God did that to me in church? I said, I am so wicked. I want to show everybody what I've learned now that I'm back in church. I took it as pride because I knew God couldn't be calling me to preach. Surely not. Well, surely He did. The Bible says God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I think the problem is that some of us aren't willing to be a fool for Jesus, are we? So I don't like you too well. That's okay. I'm leaving here in a minute. Amen. He asked me to come. Take it out on him. Amen. Take it out on Pastor Vaughn. No, don't do that. He's my friend. Don't do that. Let's bow our heads. How many folks in here would say, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I would die, heaven would be my home"? Would you raise your hand if you know the Lord is your personal Savior?